Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
This edition of the Patriots Report is brought to you by Bet Online. It's playoff time and the road to Vegas goes through San Francisco and Baltimore. Bet Online is your number one source for playoff football odds, stats, trends, and lines with everything from point spreads to hundreds of player performance props. Head to Bet Online today to stay updated on all the action. Bet Online, the game starts here. This week on the Patriots Report, my co-host Chris Hogan and I talk about the Chiefs usurping New England as the most disliked team in the NFL. We take a look at some possible candidates for the job of the Patriots' new offensive coordinator and discuss what it's like to get a concussion if you're playing in New England. That and much more up now only on the Patriots Report. All right, Chris, I'll start with this one. Who's going to win the Super Bowl and why? Kansas City or San Francisco?
Oh, man. I mean, what a weekend for sports, right?
Seriously.
For football. I mean, the championship weekend is just fun. Good, two great games. I'm siding with the 49ers. I mean, I would love to see Christian McCaffrey win a Super Bowl. I would love to see a seventh round draft pick go on to win a Super Bowl. But you know, Kansas City, you know, hats off to them, man. I mean, they played well against arguably the front runner to win the Super Bowl, and they came out on all cylinders. I mean, it blows my mind that you just don't double team Travis Kelce the entire game, but that wasn't part of their game plan. And the Chiefs are going back to another Super Bowl. But I'm going to be siding with the 49ers in a couple weeks when they take the field. So, but I think it's going to be a good game. I mean, some talented offenses and defenses that both are, you know, playing good football right now.
I agree with you on a lot of those points. I think the fact that we could see a Mr. Irrelevant end up winning a Super Bowl, I think it's going to be really interesting when you roll that into the overall philosophy that you need to get a quarterback. You know, yeah. You need to draft a quarterback in the first round to win it all if you want to have a chance. And I know that, look, I don't want to go too far down that road, and I understand that. But from my perspective, watching this postseason so far, the Chiefs really remind me a lot of you guys when it comes to overall mental toughness, winning on the road, not always in the prettiest of fashion, but being able to make plays when it counted. Tell me a little bit about the importance of that mental toughness, particularly at this time of year.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I don't think I've really even ever thought about that. But now that I'm thinking about it, it does. I mean, they do draw a lot of similarities. I mean, all year long, man, everyone's been on them about they don't have the guys. They don't have the, you know, they lost Tyreek. They lost this, you know, they only have Patrick Mahomes. They only have Kelce. The receivers are not good enough. The running back's not good enough. I mean, I heard that for 3 years, and yet I went to three back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls, right? And I think Patrick has done a very good job of managing that team, that offense, and their expectations. And I don't think that he's really faulted at all this year. I think he just stayed the course. You know, he's obviously just stepped up his level of play. I mean, playoff football is different, right? I mean, it's win or go home type football. And I think the fact that that Andy Reid has had that experience, that I think that Patrick and a lot of guys in that locker room have had that experience. They know what's on the line. Right. I mean, we can play throughout the season, wins, losses, you know, a couple drop passes here and there. But when it comes down to playing their best football, I mean, they showed that last night. Right. I mean, Ravens are making mistakes, drop passes, not, you know, a lot of three stuff that you haven't seen from them all year round, and penalties. I mean, clearly the Chiefs were. I mean, they were instigating a lot of that. Right. I mean, there was a physical kind of, you know, scratchy game, you know, everyone's kind of in their face every single play, and they just stay the course. I mean, Kelce made the plays. Everyone's been on him about not being focused. I mean, the guy broke the record for all-time receptions in the playoffs. I mean, you know, that's what you expect out of your best players in big time situations like that. So I expect the Chiefs to kind of, to, I mean, it's going to be a good game. You know, this Super Bowl is setting up to be a, is going to be a good one. You know, I think the 49ers have to really focus on not going down by 17 points in the first half. And maybe it, it, you know, because I think that the difference between the Lions and the Chiefs is that the Chiefs know how to play from ahead.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think the Lions really knew how to handle that situation and being up in that sort of game on the road in an NFC championship game. And I think that was pretty clear that it, the things just started to fall apart for them, you know, and it only took a few drives. Right. I think if the 49ers find themselves in the same position, they're not going to win that football game. So I think Kyle's going to have to, you know, the game plan is going to be great, but it's really about, you know, starting a little bit faster and getting everyone on the same page so that they're able to kind of put some points on the board and keep this game close.
Talking about the Chiefs, and I saw a few stories the last couple of weeks that the Chiefs were the new, and I'm putting my quote fingers here when I say this, most hated team in the NFL, taking the mantle from you guys, from the Patriots. My questions are two. One, did you guys know how disliked you were? And two, did you care?
Nah, I could, that means nothing to me. I loved it, though. All right. I mean, everyone, it was during the regular season. If you came to New England or New England was coming to you, that was your Super Bowl. You were going to get everyone's best game week in and week out. There was no up and down versus the teams that you played, right? I mean, when you get your schedule, you know, when Tom was there and Bill and all those guys, the guys that are, you know, going to Super Bowls every single year, going to AFC championships, you circled that game, right? You circle that game in New England, or if they were coming to you, or you were going to Foxborough, that was the game that you look forward to because, you know, we were the team to beat for a very long time. And I think, I mean, listen, Mahomes has been in the league for 6 years. He's got to the playoffs and he's gone to the AFC championship 6 times in a row, man. I mean, that's insane. So yeah, I mean, they got to be the team that everyone is circling on their schedules. Now it's like, these guys are the ones. They've proven, no matter who they have on the field, they've proven that they're going to get there. And it makes sense to me that everyone hates them. I mean, everyone hates a winner, right?
And yeah,
they're the team to beat, and they're getting there regardless of whoever they're dating on the side and who's in the media. I mean, it doesn't really matter because at the end of the day, they're playing for the Super Bowl in a couple weeks on Sunday. And the rest of the 30 other teams are not. So, you know, you read between the lines on that one, right? I mean, they obviously know what they're doing. So, yeah, if I was another team, I'd be circling that one too. And I'm in the category of hate the Chiefs, but I gotta respect. I have the utmost respect for that entire organization.
Couple of coaching questions related to the Patriots. How much do you know about Nick Caley? He was on the staff as an offensive assistant and a tight ends coach when you played in New England. He apparently now, at least as we're recording this on Monday, has the inside track as the new New England offensive coordinator. What do you remember about him, and what kind of job do you think he might do as the OC for the Patriots?
He kind of moved up the ranks, you know, when the first time I got there, but he worked primarily with the quarterbacks. I love Nick. I think he is a very smart coach. He's obviously worked his butt off to get to where he's at in this point in his career and to earn this, you know, recognition to get an interview for an offensive coordinator position. But I think we talked about it, you know, a few weeks ago, last week. I mean, you bring in Nick, it's going to be the same offense,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe with some wrinkles because now he spent some time out in LA. So maybe he's definitely picked out something. I'm sure he's learned a lot from Sean. So you'll probably see a couple of different, you know, different ways of running and passing the football. But I think overall, he's going to go back to, you know, what he did in New England. And I don't know if that's the answer. You know, I think we talk about, you know, wanting to, we got a new head coach and we want to kind of do things a little bit differently here. Then I think maybe it might be time to, you know, change it up a little bit and bring in an offensive coordinator, and let's bring in a brand new playbook. I mean, it's a copycat league, man. Everyone runs the same stuff, but let's bring in just a different way of doing things. And maybe that brings in a little bit more excitement for this offense and for the organization and for the team in general.
Is this offensive coordinator job in New England a coveted position? I say that because I only think that the trump card for the Patriots might be in telling prospective offensive coordinators behind the scenes that, look, you're going to get a chance to work with Jaden Daniels, or we're going to push all our chips in the middle of the table and we're going to take Caleb Williams and you're going to be his first OC in the National Football League. Other than that, I'm not sure how you go about attracting elite candidates for this job.
I mean, I think it kind of, that falls on Gerard. I think it's everyone knows Bill and how he does things. And I think Gerard he'll handle, like, listen, I'm doing things differently. This is a total different type of energy that I'm going to bring into this team. And, you know, this is my focus and this is where I see the future of New England Patriots under my reign as head coach. And, you know, I think he can handle that. And I think that would be the coveted position, right? To work with Gerard Mayo, right? Mm-hmm. Someone that was a phenomenal football player that has now got an awesome opportunity to be the head coach of the New England Patriots. And listen, our defense is very good, right? We're going to still try to make it better. And yeah, you're going to have a chance to work with, you know, probably a top draft pick, you know, in this year's draft. We have some money to spend. We're going to bring in some free agents. We're going to, you know, try to bring you in some different weapons and we'd love for you to be a part of the process. And, you know, who do you like? Who do you not like? Like, what do you want to do with this offense? So I think any offensive coordinator position, obviously, like, you look at your quarterback first, you know? And so, yeah, like, bringing a rookie quarterback comes with its growing pains, but you got an opportunity to, you know, maybe help a kid grow and he could turn out to be a really good quarterback. And, you know, you bring in some veteran weapons on the offensive side of the ball and, you know, who knows what this offense looks like next year. Right. So maybe like on paper right now, it doesn't look like the type of position that anyone would be, you know, clawing to get, but I still think that there's a lot of opportunity there. And, you know, listen, we're here. I think that the sky, we can only go up. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think there should be a lot of people that are lobbying for this spot here in New England as the OC.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Last team-building question for you. Can Gerard Mayo take a look at what happened on conference championship weekend and take some notes from those teams? It could be something as broad as, hey, hit on the coach and the quarterback, or it can be something maybe as specific as play calling or schemes or personnel or whatever the case might be. But if you're Mayo, you're watching these games, what are you taking out of these games that you want to apply to your team moving forward?
I think you're for Gerard, I mean, game managing is going to be is going to be a huge part of his, you know, process of how, being a head coach. I mean, let's look at Dan Campbell, right? I mean, that guy, I mean, I was pulling for the Lions last night as much as I want San Francisco to win. I mean, for an organization to stick behind a guy to change a culture of an entire organization and give him the time to do that in 3 years where they were 2-12 one year, and then they went 9-8 and now they're playing the NFC championship game. I mean, you know, he did things his way, right? He had a lot of energy. People are going to question some of the calls that he made last night, but, you know, he said it in the post game stuff. I mean, listen, this is who we are. You know, I don't regret my decisions. I think the team backed his decisions. And like, as a head coach, you're going to be faced with those types of situations week in and week out. So I think for him, I think for Gerard, it's really about just watching how different, how coaches manage games and seeing, you know, who do I want to be as a head coach, right? Am I going to be a guy that's going to be aggressive and, you know, wants to go for it on fourth down and play, you know, play the statistics, or am I going to take the points? So I think all of that will be laid out for us, you know, over the course of, you know, the preseason. And well, I think we'll see him, you know, the preseason will be a good trial run for him to kind of see, you know, how to manage a game and see how he wants to do it. And obviously it boils down to the type of team that he has and the amount of trust that he has in an offense and defensive side of things. So I think there's so much unknown right now. And
really, yeah.
we're kind of in this waiting period of like, I can't wait for August to roll around so that we can start playing football. And, you know, cause again, it's how much do we really get to know in training camp, right? I mean, we're going to talk about players and draft picks for the next couple months until we actually get to play a preseason game. And then it's live bullets and be like, okay, cool. This is New England Patriots. And let's see what type of team that we're going to put out in 2024.
It looks like Bill will not be coaching in the NFL in 2024, which is remarkable to me. I looked this up. This would be the first season since 1974, the year before he took a special assistance job with the Colts, where he won't be a head coach or an assistant coach in this league. I don't care what you think of Bill. That's wild to me. But I have a hypothetical for you. When they have the night for Tom at Gillette Stadium in June, does Bill come back? And if so, what sort of reaction does he get?
I got to imagine that Bill comes back, and I got to imagine that every single person in that stadium will be, there won't be an empty seat in that stadium, and there will be no one sitting down. You know, I mean, Coach Belichick, regardless of how this year went, I mean, the amount of respect that former players have, that coaches have, that owners have, that fans have, you know, he's given everything to that team, to that organization, to, you know, to Boston, to Boston sports. And I think he'll be back. I think him and Tom have too good of a relationship, and they've done too many good things together. I mean, I saw an interview with Tom Brady, and Tom, he got choked up, you know, with Bill leaving New England. I mean, that just goes to show you right there. I mean, you could talk about the relationship between him and Brady. I mean, that just goes to show you right there what Coach Belichick meant to 12, mm-hmm. right? That says it all. You know, to see that guy get emotional about Coach Belichick retiring and thinking about all the things they did. I mean, I got to imagine he's going to be back in that stadium.
I put that on Twitter.
I saw it this morning.
Yeah. And I'll say this right now. It's got almost 1,000 votes. 60% of the people said he returns.
Yep.
10% he declines to appear. 27% says that he will decline but send a video. And then another 3% said it's complicated. You know, is something, you know, something else is going to happen.
Yeah, no, there definitely won't be any tech side of Bill doing a selfie video. That's not going to happen. He's either going to be there or he's not.
I want to wrap up with one final question. On a recent edition of Julian's podcast, he had your buddy Danny Amendola on, and they told some of their concussion stories, including one where they talked about having a pact where Amendola said if one of them got knocked out, the other one would run over and peel him off the ground. The other thing they said was they would give each other information that would be asked of them by the medical staff as the concussion protocol doctor, individual, whatever on the sideline, date, score, the time. Did you have that sort of pact with the guys, and were you aware of something like that going on?
Listen, I played in a different era, right? And that era changed pretty quickly over a couple of years. Even towards the end of my career, concussions were clearly more of an emphasis on that, and there was more people there analyzing that stuff. I could used to be able to say the months forwards and backwards if you asked me, like right now, because I knew that's what I had to do to get back in a football game. And I have certainly gotten my bell rung multiple times, but to me it was, you know, football, that was my job, man. I was not getting taken out of a football game. And if I needed to say the months forwards and backwards and what day it was and who was winning or losing, like, I knew all that information going into that game. And listen, I've been picked off the turf multiple times. I mean, I'll tell you a funny story. My first play in the NFL, I got knocked out. Knocked out, right? Buffalo Bills, opening day, 2014, 2013. I was special teams. We're at home. The amount of energy was just insane to me. This was when the wedge was a real thing, and you had to go try to get by 600 pounds of offensive linemen. Well, my dumbass tried to go straight through them, and AQ Shipley, who actually went to Penn State, so I knew who he was, and I played lacrosse there, obviously. So, oh yeah, he literally picked me up off the turf and was like, you know, you're okay. I walked back to the side. I mean, I was seeing stars for an entire half, you know, but like, That was the way that I played football, and I wasn't gonna. I didn't really have this. I go back and forth about, you know, probably should have been a little bit more cautious about some of this stuff because it is a real thing and brain injuries are a real thing. But I just love to play, man, and I didn't have any special packs like Danny and Jules, but. I certainly got brought to the tent a few times, and even before they even started speaking, I'd start saying the months forwards and backwards, be like, I'm good, let's go, we're losing or we're winning, it's the third quarter and there's this much time left, like, what are we talking about?
What's the tone and the tenor when you get in the blue tent? What is that like for someone who's never experienced that? Is there an urgency? Is there an anxiety? And I know, look, every situation is different, every injury is different, but what's it like when they put that tent up around you?
I think that the staff, and I mean, they're doing their job, and a lot of guys sometimes in the heat of the moment, maybe they get a little upset that they're getting taken out of the game to go into the blue tent. But at the end of the day, they're doing what they think is best for you. And I think they know that, and they know the type of people that they're dealing with, right? Cause these are guys that are playing, you know, going to war for 60 minutes and emotions are high, and it's always a calm, like, it's never someone like really in your face, like, you know, doing any of that. It's more like, hey, this is what we saw. Your head bounced off the turf or you took a big shot. Like, do you remember it? Like, how did it happen? Are you okay? Let's just do a couple of different tests. I mean, we go through an entire concussion protocol before the season, so you have kind of a baseline of, you know, you know, covering your eyes, standing on a foot, you know, the things that you can remember, you know, saying different things, obviously day of the week, who you're playing, time of day, who's winning, who's losing. And they have their whole process of going through this, because at the end of the day, like, they want to make sure that they're not putting you back out there, you know, risking an even more serious injury. So I think that it's much more, players are more aware of it now, and the implications that it could have later on in your career, like after you retire. And I think they're educating guys much more on that. But, you know, when I played, it was more of like, listen, man, you're not taking me out of a football game. Like, I don't want to come out. I don't care how hard I got hit, but if I can play football and I know what day of the week it is and who we're playing, like, I'm going back out there.
Did it ever get heated for you on the sidelines when it's like, look, I'm going back in this game, I don't care what you say? Was there ever a moment where you had to be, I don't want to say saved from yourself, but was there ever a moment where you had to really fight to get back in the game?
No, I don't ever remember myself getting real heated in the moment. I do remember in 2016, we were playing Cleveland and I took a reverse and got like flipped end over end. And you know, that was probably like when they started doing some more concussion stuff, and they brought me all the way back into the locker room. And I think I got a little heated about that, just because it was, you know, it was a really, it was a, it was a emotional game for everybody. It was Tom's game back after his suspension. And, you know, I was just excited to play with Brady, you know, during the regular season for the first time. And, you know, I was having a good game and, you know, yeah, sure. I got, you know, I took a good shot, but like, you know, if I, as a player, I know when I got hit and when I got hit. Right. And it's like, I took a shot. Right. And that to me didn't warrant me having to go all the way back in the locker room, answer all the questions and come back out. But, you know, listen, it also, like, when you look back on it, these guys are doing their job and they're trying to look out for the best interests of the players. And I can't fault those guys for that, because, you know, that's, they're trying to protect you from pretty much from yourself, because, you know, guys like me and, you know, Julian and Danny, I mean, there wasn't much that was going to bring us out of a football game. And it's a violent sport, man. I mean, listen, you're not going to go through a football game without, you know, taking a nick to the head once or twice. So, you know, I think what they're doing in the league is the right thing, and how much education and how much player safety that they're doing is necessary, right? They're trying to protect guys and lengthen their careers and set them up for success after football, right? Where they don't have any lingering injuries or head trauma, and there is no, you know, effects of playing the game that they loved for so long their entire lives, you know, for the next half of their life, right? And I think that's the NFL, you know, is going to continue to support that and continue to do better and better and better for player safety.
Chris Hogan, thank you very much, my friend. Take care. And we will talk again next week. We'll do a little more Super Bowl stuff. I want to get some of your personal memories about the Super Bowls that you played in, because you played in really three wildly different games in my experience, and what goes into the preparation, what goes into the execution, and then maybe what goes into the celebration or the letdown afterward. Yeah. So we'll talk more about that next week.
All right, Chris. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye, brother.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. One more reminder. This episode of the Patriots Report has been brought to you by Bet Online. It's playoff time and the road to Vegas goes through San Francisco and Baltimore. Bet Online is your number one source for playoff football odds, stats, trends, and lines, with everything from point spreads to hundreds of player performance props. Head to BetOnline today to stay updated on all the action. BetOnline, the game starts here.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.